As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The prime thing is you have to win. You have to win. Otherwise, you can't be a success in professional football.
Every single day I come in here, I think about winning. You know, I don't do this year round to come in and not make the playoffs. I'm sick of that shit, and I want to keep winning.
You're listening to The State of the Nation with Jimmy Durkin, Vic Tafer, Tashawn Reed, and Ted Nguyen on the Athletic Podcast Network.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to State of the Nation here on the Athletic Podcast Network. I am Jimmy Durkin, joined as always by Vic Tafer, Tashawn Reed, and Ted Nguyen. We haven't come to you guys for a couple weeks. We got two games to talk about. And over these last two games, the average score is Raiders 31.5, opponents 12. So that just tells the whole story, right? Two comfortable wins. Not quite, but two games that honestly could not be more different. A 3-0 loss to the Minnesota Vikings that had us internally talking about that as the night that Antonio Pierce probably lost his shot at the head job, and then a 63-21 win over the Chargers that reignited his chances at the job. We're not gonna get into too much of that 3-0 loss to the Vikings a couple weeks ago. It's, you know, at this point that game's in the past. But the Thursday night win over the Chargers, just absolutely demolishing a team that, I mean, honestly, it was the Chargers team that looked like, at least there was a few players out there that looked like their goal that night was to get Brandon Staley fired, and it worked.
Wait, does it put him squarely back in the, you know, in the front row to get this job, or does it just put him in the same place because the Vikings game is so bad that it evens out?
If you watched on TV, Mark Davis was having a ball. He's like laughing. He's drinking 18 waters. He's like closing his eyes and he can't believe it. Like, he's like, I think it's the happiest I've ever seen him. So based on that, you got to figure AP's back in the mix. I think it was, obviously the Chargers quit, but still 63 points is it's a franchise record. So I'm sure Mark Davis definitely enjoyed himself, and maybe he's thinking that could be more of the same in the future.
Deshaun, did you text Mark about why he had so many waters that day?
He's been working out a lot, man. So I saw him at the owners' meeting. The first time I saw him, he was in shorts and a workout shirt, had a towel around him. He's got to stay hydrated, man. He's getting pumping that iron.
You know, it was like 18 waters in front of him.
Hey, man, don't hate on him. Staying hydrated, you know what I mean. But I think
if that was 18 beers, would you be batting an eye? No, like.
Yeah,
it's true, water. Like, what?
Yeah, stay hydrated. What, Benzopyramid? You know what I'm saying? It lives on. But yeah, I think it's somewhere in the middle. Like, I think it's very much so still up in the air going into these last three games. Like, if they lose 3 in a row and finish 6-11, like, you know, that's probably it. But, you know, I think it's still an ongoing audition. I don't think anything's been decided at this point. I do think Mark is genuinely open to it in terms of keeping everybody in place, both Pierce and also interim GM Champ Kelly. And I think that's what he would prefer rather than going out. And obviously he still has to conduct the searches in order to you know, adhere to NFL rules. But, you know, I mean, if these guys fight hard for Antonio Pierce, and like, let's say they went out, you know, which I think is realistic. I mean, the Chiefs look vulnerable right now. I know they haven't been able to beat them on the road in a long time, but, you know, if they went out, even if they don't make the playoffs, like, I don't think the end result of the season matters so much as how they look. And if they continue to fight hard and have that level of effort and they're competitive in all these games and they don't have those embarrassing games like they did against the Vikings, then I think you'll have a pretty good shot. Now, if they go out there and get cooked by the Chiefs and get convincingly beat by the Colts and lose at home to the Broncos, then that's probably all she wrote. But I think it's still very much so up in the air.
I mean, I think when you look at Mark Davis, he's an owner who very much operates under emotion. And for him to watch a game like that where they just went out and kicked their rival's ass and, I mean, didn't care about running up the score. They would have called it a trick play, have a Jacoby Myers throw a touchdown. What, 42-0 at that point? That was the one that made it 49-0. You know, like I know probably in some NFL circles, you'd be like, oh, what are you doing? Yeah. Like, no, if you're Mark Davis, like, and you want to get back to that old school Raider way, we're going to kick your ass. We're going to be tough. We're going to rub it in your face. You had to love the attitude that the team showed and that your coach showed that game.
I think it's clear the players definitely want AP and Champ as the guys. They're playing hard for him. I don't think Mark Davis regrets the whole Bisaccia thing. That's the comparison everybody makes. But I think, again, if a team's playing hard for a coach staying down the stretch and you have some positive signs, you have to think about, why not keep it going. But I agree. I think it's still wide open for AP. I think Champ, is going to get the job. But AP, I think, is wide open. And these three games, I'm not sure if they have to win them all. I'm not sure that's realistic. I mean, I know Deshaun thinks it's possible. I think winning out would be shocking to me. But I think if you win two of three, or maybe if you beat the Chiefs somehow, that might in itself might be good enough for the job if you win on Monday. But yeah, I think they're playing hard for them. That's the main thing. They're getting some results. The defense has definitely gotten better, which I'm still a little surprised how good it's gotten the last month and a half. But yeah, things definitely, I think, going in a positive direction for AP's hopes.
Last point about the Vikings game, and we'll move on from it.
Yeah, but even Vikings in that game is old. Come on.
But I mean, even in that game, I think they were playing hard, to hold the Vikings to only 3 points and shut them out for most of the game. I think they're playing hard. I just think the Vikings defense is really, really tough to decipher for a rookie quarterback. I mean, I did an article on Brian Flores last week, and I was watching film, and I was like, I had no idea what they were doing on defense. I just knew that somehow they were just dropping into every area every receiver was running into. And Sean Payton even joked when they played him in week 11 that they had to spend like extra hours watching film trying to figure out this defense. So imagine trying to be a rookie quarterback and trying to decipher what they're doing with the free rusher coming at you, so it's tough. And Aiden O'Connell played some tough pass defenses leading up to that game. I mean, the Chiefs are an elite pass defense. The Jets are an elite pass defense ever since Jalen Ramsey came back. The Dolphins have elite pass defense. And then you play Brian Flores. And, then you go to play the Chargers, and it's like, it's like playing on rookie mode after playing on like all Madden mode.
Yeah, the Chargers secondary, especially, was the group that looked like they had no interest in playing and no interest in being coached by Brandon Staley anymore. But that's beside the point. I think one of the keys for Pierce is going to be what is going to be his plan offensively, right? Especially, a couple weeks ago after that Vikings game, we're like, all right, yeah, Bo Hardaway, not the guy. We'll see how that group was able to close the last three games out. But I think if you're going to go with Pierce as your full-time coach, I think Mark Davis is going to want to hear what the plan is on that offensive side. What do you want to do at quarterback? Who are you going to be able to bring at coordinator if you're not sticking with Hardaway? And then kind of a broader, Deshaun, you got a chance to talk with Mark, and we can get into a few other topics from that. But my biggest takeaway from that was that if he's going to hire Pierce and Champ Kelly to be his duo, the two guys that would be in the role for the first time outside of this interim period right now. And he sounded like if he was going to have a situation again where he's got a rookie head coach and a rookie GM, that he would probably like to have some kind of veteran president of football ops type guy overseeing those guys, just to give, a little bit more experience to the front office.
Yeah, and his logic from that just stems back to, that third person, in the past was Al Davis, obviously his father, and had that football knowledge and made final decisions, whether it was personnel or whatnot, and had an active hand in it. And that's something that Mark has acknowledged that he doesn't have. He doesn't have that same level of depth of football knowledge as his father did. And, I think that's something that we don't see a lot of owners admit, you know, and kind of own up to. And, you know, I think, you know, with him having that lack of knowledge, and not to say that, you know, just because Champ Kelly and Antonio Pierce would be their first time in the jobs that they don't know football, like obviously they do, but having somebody that's used to operating on that broader scale to help assist them along the way is something that makes sense and that you would think would be helpful for them, because Mark can't really provide that. You know, he hires guys and then he's hands off. You know, he might meet with them for an hour after the game and make our press conference late, but, you know, he doesn't really know the nuts and bolts like somebody in that role would. And so that's something that I think it would make sense. As in who that would be, I have no idea, but I think that position is one that could help, you know, provide some stability in the front office.
I like that you asked them, how do you evaluate Champ? Because, you know, there's no real opportunity for him to actually sign anybody or draft anyone before the decision is made to, you know, whether or not he keeps a job, because it is an awkward.
Well, give him credit for Jack Jones. He gets credit for Jack Jones. Bad pick six, baby. Come on.
But I mean, that's why I think Champ probably, you know, like you guys said, probably has, I wouldn't say locked up, but I mean, he has a pretty high chance of keeping a job. You know, that he was interviewed as a general manager candidate before they hired Ziegler. And, you know, just based on what has been said, it seems like he has a good chance of keeping a job.
Yeah, I think it seems to be leaning towards that way. And it feels like we'll have an answer about the GM role first this offseason. You know, Mark, he kind of backtracked it and didn't really, though. I mean, it seemed like he plans to hire the GM first and then allow the GM to have a say in who they pick as the next head coach. And I think that makes sense. I think we might see more teams do that now that they push back the period where you can start interviewing candidates who are still in the playoffs, I think, to after the divisional round, I want to say. And so, obviously, you know, coordinators on those teams are going to be some of the most sought after candidates, most likely. And so teams in general may be hiring their head coaches a little bit later, but it seems like they're going to focus on making a GM hire first, and Champ has a pretty good chance to get.
Champ and AP brought in some advisors last week. They brought in, you know, Tom Coughlin and Adam Gase and Marvin Lewis. And those guys, I'm sure, actually Mark likes to see that, because like you said, he himself has said, I don't have all the answers. I'm not really a football guy in terms of X's and O's and how all this works. So the idea of these guys reaching out to get help and get some guidance from guys who have been around, I think is a good sign. Also, they probably have some ideas about, like you mentioned, the offense next year. What's the plan? What can we do next year as far as what names are available? What can we do to help you know, Pierce out in that role? So I think those three guys are going to be pretty important, you know, players in this whole process. And I don't know if Marvin Lewis wants a Czar job, but Czar job. But maybe he does. Maybe he could be, he has a lot of experience, and I'm sure he could help out and kind of plotting things going forward. But I think those three names are interesting guys to watch.
And I think it's going to be important to see who are those types of people that Pierce and Champ Kelly rely on, because we know, I mean, Mark said it to you, Vic, that that the people that Dave Ziegler leaned on and kind of went to for advice maybe weren't exactly telling him what he should have been hearing because of the competitive nature of the league. And so we knew that Mark had concerns about the type of people that Ziegler was leaning on. So I think he's going to probably weigh pretty heavily who these guys have as those trusted voices that they can lean on.
Yeah, that was one of the first warning shots that Mark was not totally in love with his choices, I think, at that point. He may have realized he may have made a mistake at that point. But clearly he was trying for something different. He tried the Patriot way, and now we're back to, he's, you know, the Raider way, I guess. We're trying to stick it back to the old culture. But really, fans just want a winning way. So they want a plan that works. They want some draft picks that can play. And this year, we've seen a couple flashes from guys this year. I think some of the signings have been pretty solid. So there's some positives this year as far as the offseason moves. But even more of that. And again, the big question, like we've talked about, is who's running the offense and who's playing quarterback? And that'll be huge this offseason.
You know, if Antonio Pierce is a hire, I think who he decides is going to be his offensive coordinator is going to be a huge factor in this. I mean, I think Bo Hardigree kind of just got pushed into this position, and, you know, he's doing the best he can. But, you know, I don't think he's really prepared to be a play caller in this league. So, you know, I can't imagine that if Pierce does move into next year, he keeps Bo Hardigree, and getting somebody that could develop a young quarterback is going to be, you know, huge for whoever Pierce, you know, the offensive coordinator.
Patrick Graham is somebody that, like, you know, he's been a head coaching candidate in the past, and with as well as this Raiders defense is playing, like, keeping him is going to be something that's important too. Like, you know, I don't know how this head coaching cycle is going to pan out, but I don't think it's necessarily a guarantee that he's going to be around next year. And Antonio Pierce, he was a college defensive coordinator, and so maybe if he's retained, he just takes over that role because it's something that he's done in the past. But I think that's something that we shouldn't just brush aside either.
It's going to matter who does Pierce have good relationships with. Who is he? You know, does he have a tight relationship with Patrick Graham? Is Patrick Graham going to want to stick around under him? And then we'll have to see. I think the fact that he's that former player, that he's got a lot of connections, he's got a lot of people that he can lean on, that he knows, he can talk to, and especially his time as a college coach. You know, certainly when you're a college coach, you've got a lot of coaches that are getting in touch with you to talk about your players. So he's going to have some pretty deep contacts, I think. So I think he, you know, if given the opportunity to put together a staff, I think he'd be able to put together a pretty solid staff.
Yeah, he definitely seems like he's well-connected. Definitely has, he's done a good job keeping up all his contacts, and definitely he's well-liked. He made some calls, Sean and I earlier, about, you know, his profile story, and definitely guys think he's, around the league, think he's very smart, and obviously we've seen the player connection he has. So I think there'll be some good candidates for sure. I think it'll be interesting to see who they bring in, but that would be, I think he's telling to Mark that, you know, the players love me, defense has gotten better. The offense, I can't do too much about. I'm doing my best, but you give me someone I can work with, and these are his ideas. We're going to get this guy's quarterback, and Mark can see the other side of the equation, and then he can make a decision. But definitely the first half of the equation, at least, is pretty much sold. And I think, you know, Mark has to say, you know what? Defense is a lot better. We're playing hard every week. We just beat a team by, you know, 50 freaking points. So I think that part is a done deal.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You know, obviously, if coming out of that Vikings game, I think we were all ready to say Aiden O'Connell is a career backup. He's not a guy. And I don't know that what he did against the Chargers team that was, you know, kind of jogging out there changes that. But it was the best performance that he's put out. And now he gives him a chance to go into these last three games. You know, Vic, you had written last week that might be his final shot, that there was some thought to possibly going back to Jimmy Garoppolo if he were to have another really, really bad game. I would imagine that performance secures the fact that he's probably going to start these final three games, and we'll get three more chances to evaluate him.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they had, 46 points in the previous four games. I think people were getting a little restless, and luckily the Chargers came in and laid down on the grass and took a nap and didn't rush the passer, didn't cover anybody. I mean, Michael Mayer was wide open the entire game. Even after the first couple of plays, he was open. They still didn't cover him. So I just I've never seen a team quit like that in my time covering the NFL, but he was a benefactor for sure. And I still think he's proven he's a good quality backup guy. I don't know if the upside's really there as far as being a starting quarterback. I think, you know, the pocket presence and the foot movement, he's not, they can't really move that well. I think those are going to be problems for him against tough defenses, which we saw the previous 4 weeks. So, but I think he's definitely a guy you bring in to compete next year, and he can have a chance to be the starting guy, and maybe he gets better in the offseason. But to me, nothing's really changed this week. I think you got to bring in a guy who can be a starter either through free agency or a trade or through a draft pick.
Do you guys think O'Connell has outplayed what we've seen from Jimmy Garoppolo this season?
That bar's pretty low.
It's pretty low bar. I mean, better than who was the worst quarterback in the league, damn near at the time. So I mean, yeah, I guess
I still gotta believe Jimmy was. I mean, I think he was hurt. I mean, I can't imagine. I don't know how she explained him being from a pretty solid quarterback to being terrible, if not for all the injuries. But we'll never know. But yeah, we'll see what happens to them next year. But I think he had a small window. Maybe, like you said, if O'Connell struggled against the Chargers, maybe Jimmy gets a shot on Christmas Day, but now I think it's clearly going to be Aiden's show the next 3 weeks.
I was just trying to set up my hot take that Aiden O'Connell would throw 25 touchdowns and 10 picks in a Shanahan Niner offense. But
wow, that's a hot take.
I mean, just back to the Chargers game. Another player that was really impressive, I thought, was Thayer Munford playing left tackle. I did not know he moved that well based on, you know, some of his snaps at right tackle and, you know, his passing off stunts. He was shutting down guys, I think independent hand usage. I mean, he looked good, you know, so I wonder if he could translate that when he moves back to the right side, if Colt Miller comes back, or maybe do they get a little crazy and see if Miller could play on the right side, if Munford could continue this. Is Miller probably coming back this next game?
I have no idea, man. It's been weird. He's been in the locker room every week. It seemed like he's doing well, and he doesn't play. So maybe they had a long-term plan. Maybe he's saving him for this game against the Chiefs. But it doesn't seem like – I mean, he's around. So it's not like he's hiding in the training room. So
play some ping-pong with him and find out, man.
There you go. Wow, some video games, some Fortnite. But my guess is they're trying to get him right and make sure he's back 100% for this game coming up. But I'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, I do think that was something from the game. I know everybody looks good when you put up 63, right? But there were a lot of young players that stood out, whether it was Dylan Parham starting at center with Andre James out. And I think we think that's probably where he's best at moving forward. Trey Tucker Flash had a couple of touchdown catches, Michael Mayer. Then on the defensive side of the ball, Malcolm Kuntz had his best game as a pro. Devon Diablo, Jack Jones, Trayvon Merrick back in the secondary, like, this was a game where a lot of their young guys that they've been leaning on or depending on to step up, you know, did that and stood out. And, you know, I think seeing that can also continue in these final three games of the season is huge. Carrying forward to the future, you know, more so than, you know, if they make the playoffs or not, I think if they can identify that young core of young players they can lean on as they continue to build the roster moving forward, that'll be pretty big for them.
Pierce said that Mayer set the tone with that first block of the game against Khalil Mack, and definitely he's gotten a lot better blocking him. As I mentioned, he was wide open the whole game. So Trey Tucker had a big game. So, yeah, the young guys are getting people excited, which is good. That's a new thing around here. I think you're seeing not only young guys making plays, but also you're seeing some player development, guys who are actually getting better over the course of a season, which is very rare around the Raiders. So I think those are all positive signs.
Mayer looked really good as a blocker and as a receiver, which, you know, is what you drafted him for, to be an all-around tight end. And you saw a glimpse of that against the Chargers. Trey Tucker, obviously, we knew he had the speed. Still has trouble really, you know, securing the catch on the first without bobbling it and, you know, getting his feet in bounds, just making sure that everything is clean with the catch process. And I think that's going to be a thing to watch out for as he continues to develop, because he certainly has the separation ability. I mean, you know, we saw that before this game, but I just hope that he doesn't become like a Jerry Jeudy type of wide receiver where, you know, you're always just holding your breath to see if he could get his feet in bounds when he easily should be able to, or, you know, if he could bring in an easy catch. So that'll be the question with Tucker.
What do we think of Zamir White? First start, 17 carries, 69 yards. Solid, nothing electric, nothing spectacular, but had the touchdown. Obviously, his by far his biggest workload in an NFL game.
Yeah, thought he was all right, which I think is, you know, typically when we've seen him mostly in the preseason, I think that's been our takeaway, is, you know, solid, you know, short yardage back who can get you some yards, a physical runner, but not necessarily that guy with a ton of upside, it doesn't seem. And so, you know, like, I mean, I know he was drafted, obviously, to replace Josh Jacobs. They tried to backtrack that, but that's the only reason why you have Josh Jacobs out there playing in a preseason game last year. And it doesn't seem like he'll be quite that, but he looks like a guy that could at least be a useful rotation, a useful piece of a running back rotation moving forward if they want to keep him on board.
I mean, the Chargers have a terrible run defense, and I wanted to see a little bit more wiggle, some more ability to break some tackles. And we just have not seen that from White in this game or any other game in his career. I just don't see him as a starting back.
I was going to say, we saw the explosiveness, but it was from Brandon Bolden, not from from Zamir White. So, yeah, I think he's a guy. He's a functional number two back, I think, kind of like O'Connell.
He's not a young guy, but probably the most ridiculous play from Thursday's game was John Jenkins' 44-yard fumble return for a touchdown. Ridiculous from the standpoint of, like, Chargers were just jogging after this 325-pound defensive tackle and pretty much just like, yeah, go ahead, have a touchdown. We don't really have a ton of interest in going and stopping you.
I mean, for what? You're going to drag down a 330-pound guy down 49 points at that point? I mean, I don't – by that point, they're packed up and had their vacation plans already set, so I don't blame them for that one. But, yeah, I mean, he's been a great guy for them this year. He's been a guy who came in, kind of a leadership-type guy in the line, been around for 11 years. He's a good-natured guy, always been great energy, great positive voice in that locker room, and he's made some plays. He's definitely been kind of a run guy, a run-stopper, but we saw the burst. I think they had him timed at, 17 miles per hour, which is a load of
pretty
crap.
Good.
But you said it was true, but there's no way he was going that fast. But whatever, and I'm not going to hate. But he made it. He got there in the end. He said he's watching himself on the Jumbotron, so he knew he was going to make it in. So that's kind of – it must be a cool moment for a guy who's been around 11 years and you watch yourself running into the end zone. So tip of the cap to John Jenkins.
The Raiders at 36 sacks right now, so – 14 in this last three.
Man, you guys laughed at me. I was scoffed at.
Do you really think they're going to get 14 in the last three games?
Oh, no doubt about it. Nah, I have no idea. But why not? Malcolm Kuntz is, man, who knew? Like, he's coming on like crazy. We always knew he had the bend, but the power has been a lot better this year. And definitely a guy who's following Max's example as far as the relentless energy. And just he's been a big-time guy for them. I mean, we all thought Chandler Jones was going to be somewhat of a decent sized loss, but people forgot about Chandler Jones. I mean, if not for his little random TikToks and posts, we'd forget he was even around. But he's still here and there and doing random stuff.
Yeah, I mean, he might develop into kind of like a Ngakoue type of player that's good at pass rushing, with a good arsenal of moves, just not great against the run. Another thing we haven't talked about is Tyree Wilson playing really well ever since the Raiders started playing him inside a little bit more, closer to the ball, and just going up against guards. He's been pretty good since the Vikings game.
Tyree's definitely gotten better. Like I said, you've seen guys improve over the course of the season, which is very, very unusual for Raiders. So, kudos.
There's yet to be anybody, I think, on defense that's emerged as like a second superstar or second star, outside of Max Crosby, but you're starting to see the kind of development of like solid players. And that's what you want to see from your draft. You want to be able to draft solid players, starters, impact players. And then like, if you find a way, either through, your next high draft pick or through free agency to drop in, another complimentary star. I mean, I think that's the way how you start building a defense that can be a consistently top 10, top 15 unit.
Yeah, I agree. They're definitely getting more comfortable in Patrick Graham's system, which definitely was a big thing they talked about, and we're finally seeing it. So Trayvon Merrick definitely made some strides this year in the back end. So, yeah, you are seeing guys get a little better around the whole defense. So Jack Jones, probably one of the best receptions I've ever seen in my life. I definitely see his athletic ability kind of flash. So he's a guy who's been a real nice addition for him. So, yeah, his defense has really gotten better, which has been impressive.
Impressive for Patrick Graham and Max Crosby, because the defense is just made up of a bunch of solid to good guys and one superstar. And maybe you could count Nate Hobbs as a star when he's playing, when he's healthy and playing in the slot. But yeah, I mean, usually when you think of a top 10 type of defense, there's a lot more than just, one superstar playing.
I mean, that Jack Jones, waiver acquisition, I mean, that could end up being pretty significant. He's a guy that, he's only in year two, so he's still got two more years on his rookie deal. So, when you're picking that guy up midseason, it's like, okay, yeah, we're adding a guy that Antonio Pierce is familiar with. But, I mean, that's a guy that you're going to be able to keep around here for a couple of years. And we know how badly they've needed depth and some impact players at cornerback. And what we've seen from him the last couple of weeks, you know, especially in this game, I mean, looks like a guy that that they can start relying on. I mean, I don't know that he's going to be a, you know, ever be a lockdown number one corner, but I mean, if he's a solid starter for you and you can kind of start building pieces of that defense, that's one of those where you're taking advantage of a midseason waiver claim just because you've got some familiarity with the guy and the Patriots are ready to move on. That could be end up being pretty significant, you know, for all the just random Patriots that they grabbed during the McDaniels Ziegler era. It's kind of funny that as soon as those guys leave, they go and grab another Patriot, but it's not because of, you know, the Patriots connection, but because of Antonio Pierce's.
Yeah, and I mean, that's something that, you know, Mark was saying in terms of how to evaluate Champ Kelly as a GM. It's really those fringe roster moves, and that was obviously a huge one. I mean, snagging a potential starting cornerback moving forward off the street that has that kind of upside. I mean, you know, obviously got in trouble, and that's why he's not with the Patriots anymore, but it wasn't because of what he was doing on the field. I mean, he had a really, really strong rookie season as outside cornerback, and he's started to pick that up in the last couple of weeks. And so those kind of things along the margins could be something that helps his case to get that GM job.
That's kind of the Raider way, right? You get guys like off waivers, guys are kind of blowing some shots to give them a second chance or a third chance. They really embrace their role. He's loving being here, man. He was so happy after that game. Like he's mentioned how Pierce is kind of father figure for him, going back to high school and college, and he's making plays, and he's got a kid on the way. I think he's due any day now. So he's really one of the happiest guys we'll see right now. I think he's really loving being a part of this whole Raider culture.
And he already has just as many run stops as Marcus Peters in four games with the Raiders. So it's two apiece.
kicking a guy when he's already gone. Jeez.
I thought Marcus Peters had zero run stops. Apparently he had two.
Wow. He doubles down, man.
What's left for the Raiders to accomplish this season? Their playoff chances, if they were to win the final three games, get up to about 30%. So, you know, we know that that's not really the realistic goal here for this 6-8 team. But what do we want to see out of these last three games?
I just think starting Monday, if you win that game Monday, and the players have to go into that game thinking, obviously you want to be the Chiefs or your rival. And but if you win that game, I think you feel like you've gotten your guy the job. I think it'd be it's that big a game for him. And the Chiefs are not, they're still great, but they're not what they were last year. The receivers are still giving them all kinds of trouble. I mean, some of Mahomes have another tantrum yesterday on the sidelines. So clearly they're vulnerable at that spot. So should be a fun ball game. The weather is going to be kind of messy, but it should be a fun ball game. And after that, I mean, I don't think you can win out, but I think you can definitely split the last two at least, and maybe win two of them if you lose to the Chiefs. So I'd say a 2-1 finish would probably get Pierce the job.
I think it really comes down to finding some sort of offensive consistency. I mean, they've had a couple flash games since the coaching change, but they've kind of had mulligans along with them. Like the Giants game, I mean, Daniel Jones tears his ACL. That was their first game with Tommy DeVito, and they're basically not running an offense during that game. This past game, like the Chargers quit, and there were a bunch of like turnovers where they had short fields to work with. And so while they put up a bunch of points, I think we're still like kind of like a little skeptical about, you know, whether this offense can put together a good game against a good defense. And so I think we know what the Raiders defense is at this point. Like they've been pretty consistent throughout the year. And so whether or not they have a strong finish to this season is really going to come down to whether the offense can find some consistency. Because, you know, I mean, for all the Chiefs offensive issues, like their defense has been pretty good this season. Same goes for the Colts and the Broncos after they got off to a little bit of a bumpy start. And so, yeah, man, I think it comes down to this offense and figuring that out in terms of whether or not they're going to finish their season strong.
And they'll probably get Josh Jacobs back. I'm pretty sure they will on Monday. And they'll probably lean on him a lot. I mean, Pierce has said it's the Josh Jacobs show. And I think Josh has said he wants to play and get Pierce the job. So I think it'll be a lot on his shoulders on Monday and also last 3 weeks.
Well, you guys know today is the one-year anniversary of Jakobi Meyers throwing the game-winning touchdown pass to Chandler Jones. Happy anniversary to those two. But the year as situations have quite changed quite a bit.
We didn't appreciate that last year, like how good his arm is. I mean, Meyers can throw the ball, obviously. I mean, we saw it again this weekend, but now that was like
two for two, touchdown pass.
He hit Chandler Jones like right in the numbers.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So I mean, he's a weapon.
Yeah, no, they're accurate passes on the run. I was surprised how good the ball looked based on the last time I saw him throw.
That'll wrap up this episode of State of the Nation. We will be back later this week for our regularly scheduled episode as we will preview the Chiefs game. We'll make that a little bit of a mailbag episode, so we'll throw out a call for questions. We'll take some questions. Maybe fans, you guys can send us what you guys want to see under the Christmas tree if you're a Raiders fan this year when you wake up and get ready to face the Chiefs on Christmas morning. So we will talk to you again later this week, and have a great week, guys.
Later.
Adios.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.